The opinions and views expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not reflect the official positions of Lansing Community College, its administration, or WLNZ.
Crawl out from under your bridges, because it's time for Trollin' the Mitten. Your favorite local comedy podcast where we bring you the best and brightest from the Great Lakes State. I'm your host, Errol Gribble, a Michigan Reconnect student here at Lansing Community College in the Digital Media, Audio, and Cinema program, where, just like in nature, stars are forged through exposure to pressure and a lot of hot air. Welcome back to Trollin' the Mitten. I'm your host, Errol Gribble. Welcome back. This is another rare solo Errololo. Shout out to my Comedy Bang Bang fans out there. Due to a shortage of guests and an overabundance of a desire to show off, I guess, I play all the characters in this episode. And this one is another doozy. This one was recorded a couple of years ago during the last election in direct response to the garbage that Trump was campaigning on about the dangerous immigrants on our southern border, and how completely ridiculous it would be if we flipped that border, right? Ironically, I never dreamt that just over a year later, we'd be living in an America that is actively antagonizing our beloved neighbor to the north. So today, it's just me portraying an entire division of the Michigan militia stationed on the shores of Lake Superior of Gitche Gumme, preparing for what they're absolutely convinced is a looming Canadian invasion. Unlike any of the other shows, I did put together a tiny little bit of a script, but most of it's improvised. And for those who are curious, yes, I did record all the characters at the same time. No rehearsal, no guests, no problem. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Trollin' the Mitten on LCC Connect. I'm your host, Errol Gribble. And today we are up here in beautiful Hunters Point Park on the shores of Lake Superior, one of the northernmost points in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Yikes. And today, as you can hear, the park has been transformed into a training ground of sorts for the Copper Harbor Commandos, one of the many offshoots of the infamous Michigan Militia. Now, I've been invited to peer behind the curtain of this infamous group by their leader, General Norm Polchowski, to bring you another exclusive Trollin' the Mitten. Welcome to the show, General Norm.
Hey there.
Now, General, tell us a bit about what we're doing here today. I mean, I see folks swimming in the water. Looks like some troops climbing those rocks. There's, of course, some target practice going on.
Yeah, we got everybody running drills today, you know, just going out there, keeping our skills fresh. You gotta stay sharp. This country's being invaded, you know.
I heard folks talking about that as I arrived, but historically, however, though, the Michigan Militia's purpose was to protect the citizens from the government, right? And they're coming to take your guns and all that.
From my cold, dead hands, yeah. But that's real old school. You know, you spend any time up here in the UP, there's one thing you know for sure. We can have all the guns we want. You know, I personally got a safe in my sauna with over 200 firearms in there. Locked away tight.
Anyway, since you're not afraid of your government so much, I guess you're turning your attention to,
illegals crossing the border. That's right.
Yeah, but crossing the northern border?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing shiftier than a Canuck.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that fancy French, what with all their universal health care and free education, that ain't nobody that nice. Yeah, I don't trust them. So we're out here preparing for the inevitable invasion.
I mean, what would be the point? You know, most folks coming over the southern border are looking for a better life here in America. I mean, is your belief that Canadians are going to do the same?
No way, Jose. No, life in Canada sounds awesome.
Oh.
No, they're just jealous of how cool we are, you know. They got Avril Lavigne. We got Taylor Swift. They got Drake. But we got Dr. Dre.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that logic. But we're also not on the border, technically. The greatest of all lakes stands between us and Canada. You know, there's better points of entry like Sault Ste. Marie or the Windsor Bridge.
Bro, what did I tell you? Them Canucks are shifty. They know he's expecting that, so that's why we're here protecting the shores of Gitche Gummy. Oh, God, I gotta go. Oh, my buddy Hooley just shot himself in the butt again. Hey, hold on, Hooley.
Okay, that was General Norm Polchowski. We're just gonna give myself a little tour of this place. Walking around here. I mean, it really is a beautiful park, folks. You know, when there's not all these yahoos running around, folks, you really should come on up here. Really? Oh, wait, here we go, folks. We got a porta-potty here, and over by the porta-potties, we have a young man with what looks to be like a sort of a sling doing a little target practice on some old Kessler's beer bottles. Now, excuse me, young man, may I speak with you for a moment?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, you're from Channel 6 News?
Sort of. I'm Errol Gribble with Troll in the Mitten. It's a podcast.
Ah, sweet. I love podcasts. I have my own called Sweet Stevie Soundscapes, where it's just me in my basement making fart noises with my armpits. See?
That's impressive. Sweet Stevie, is that you?
Yeah. My name's Stevie Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan? Like the Canadian province?
Yeah. I was born in Canada, and then my parents smuggled me across the lake when I was a baby. You know, kind of like Moses in the basket. But instead of being snatched up by the Pharaoh, a team of river hogs rescued me after getting smashed in the head by some fresh-cut logs rolling down the river.
Wow, so technically, you're an illegal.
Shh! Don't you say that word around here! Not so loud! They're gonna find me out, man!
Stevie, don't you find it ironic that you're training to fight the same people who allowed you to come here?
What's ironic mean?
Okay, let's move on. So, why don't you tell me what you're doing here?
Okay, see, now, like every red-blooded American, I love guns. But I've never been able to shoot one straight. In my last skeet shoot tournament, I took out 6 geese, 4 woodchucks, and a ringneck pheasant. Thing is, I was aiming at clay pigeons the entire time. I don't know. Maybe it's my cursed Canadian blood, but I still want to do my part. So I made this sling out of some twine and an old dried up pasty, and I'm good to go. Bullseye!
Nice shot, Stevie.
Yeah, it's all on the wrist. Actually, it's my secret weapon.
Secret weapon?
I only shoot potassium stones.
Oh, wow. Okay. For our listeners, who I'm sure already know, Petoskey stones are Michigan's official state stone and are actually prehistoric fossils that are skeletons of coral polyps.
Yeah, that's right. And they're the perfect shape and texture to take out a trespasser.
Watch your shrapnel, Stevie.
Sorry, Buck. See, these stones are supercharged.
Oops, that gun got away from me. Oh, God, that's a lot of blood.
911!
Folks, I'm going to wrap up this thing before we have any more casualties around here.
That's okay. I'm out of Petoskey stones anyway. I'm going to spend the next 5 or 6 hours combing the beach trying to find some more ammunition.
Okay, thank you, Stevie, for your time.
Oh, sure, pleasure's all mine.
And thank you all for listening. I am your slightly traumatized host, Errol Gribble, and this has been Troll in the Mitten.
Now put some pressure on it.
Oh, God.
Partners, Harry Tanks for Moo Dance Stables. Are you looking for a place to saddle up, ride free, and gallop into adventure? Look no further than Moo Dance Stables. If it's going to be on 4 legs and it's going to be fun, it's going to have to be Moo Dance. I'll tell you what, we got all kinds of horses. Check out these Mustangs. We got the wildest, most feral Mustangs in the Midwest. You want something a little faster? Our thoroughbreds will have you feeling like you're in the Kentucky Derby. Get you one of them feel fancy hats they wear. We got like 25 Arabian horses on the lot. Beautiful horse, won't break your bank. We got like 16 Clydesdales. These babies will haul anything you can throw at them. Even your mother-in-law. We got every type of horse you can imagine. We got Hackneys. We got Quarter Horses. We got Palominos. We got Percherons. We got Missouri Foxtrotters. We got Saxon Warmbloods. We got Saxon Coldbloods. We got Shetlands. We even got a room of rocking horses for the little ones so they can come down and have a good time. I'll tell you right now, if you can't find the right horse here at Moondance Stables, I'll let you take a ride out on me. Just don't tell my wife. That's right, partners. Come on down to Moondance, where the grass is green, the horses are mean, and the prices are lean. If we make a buck, it's your luck. Where do you get a bargain on a bronco? Where you get a deal on a horse that's real? Moondance. Call 1-800-MOONDANCE or visit moondance.com.
That's all for today, Hooper Scoopers. Remember, you can listen to this and every one of our episodes on lccconnect.org, plus all your major streaming platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had as much fun as we did. And until next time, if you seek a pleasant peninsula, look about you.
Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts invites you to the Music Faculty Concert and Scholarship Fundraiser Friday, March 6th. A special evening showcasing LCC's music faculty. This concert also serves as a fundraiser supporting the Endowed Music Scholarship Fund, helping future students pursue their musical education. Seating is limited. Join us for a dessert reception at 6:30 p.m., followed by the concert at 7 p.m. in the Gannon Building at LCC's downtown campus. For more information, visit lcc.edu/showinfo.
Hi, I'm Greg Ladig, and I host a show called Stars on Sports with Assistant Athletic Director Stephen Cutter here on LCC Connect. It's all about Lansing Community College Athletic Department. You can always find out more about Stars on Sports and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
I didn't want to talk. She just sat with me. That was all I really needed.
We got back, and of course, we went to different cities. One day, he called me out of the blue, and it's comforting to know that I always can count on him to have my back.
We hadn't talked for a while, and then she texted me, and we went for a walk.
She called me from time to time. I really didn't think I needed any help.
I was away from my family during the holidays, and a friend invited me to their house for dinner. It really meant a lot.
He knew I was having a rough week, so he asked me to go fishing with him.
My friend knew that I didn't want to go out, so she brought me dinner instead.
It took me from being really depressed to feeling like somebody cared. It gave me some hope. Just that one text.
Be there. Your call. Your presence. Your words. Your support. Be there and help save a life. Learn more about preventing suicide at veteranscrisisline.net.
On Wednesday, March 18th, Lansing Community College presents the Job and Internship Fair at LCC's downtown campus. This event will bring employers recruiting for full-time, part-time, and internship opportunities and is open to the general public. To RSVP or find out more details, visit lcc.edu and search Job Fair.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Conversations with Kate is like a conversation with your friend, hairstylist, or therapist, where we will talk about music, life, stories, and everything in between, with interviews and guests sprinkled in. As an LCC student, it's an honor, and I love bringing a fresh perspective to the podcast menu on LCC Connect. I am your host, Kate. Let's get into this episode. Welcome back. First, I want to say I'm grateful that you are here with me for this special year-end episode. How did we get here? This is the 14th episode. So before you pop the confetti and step into a fresh new year, I want to take a moment and pause to breathe and to honor everything this year has brought you and me and us together. The joy, the strength, the growth, the surprises, and the little bit of sparkle. 2025 was a year of becoming for this show and for me. And I hope in some way for you too. So let's reflect, celebrate, and look ahead together. How is 2025 already over? And how are you going to celebrate the end of the year? So we're going to go back to January, March of this year. And that's kind of when I was waiting for a decision from the station about bringing Conversations with Kate onto the LCC Connect team. I had a couple of meetings, but it was just kind of like the quiet beginning. We weren't really there. And then I got the confirmation and the journey really started in the quiet moments of the year. And all I was doing was working, going to school, planning, dreaming, secretly building this show in the back of my mind, building something that nobody yet knew about. Unique kind of magic in the waiting. There is a unique kind of magic in the waiting, I meant to say. When ideas are still cocooned, hidden away, transforming into what they're meant to be. What were you quietly nurturing in the beginning of the year? I want to hear. Yes, you listening right now. Go ahead and go to any of my social medias, Conversations with Kate. I want to hear. What were you quietly nurturing at the start of 2025? And then drum roll, we have March happen. And that's when the announcement came, March 17th. The moment I finally got to say it out loud. We're launching a show on LCC Connect. I was excited. I was nervous. I was proud. Most of all, I was ready. And then April brought the very first episode on April Fool's Day. Yeah. April was the month that we pressed publish. And that first episode was just like a brief introduction of me and a coffee chat, a reminder that simple moments can be rich and meaningful. And then we talked about my wellness journey as well, about protecting your peace and caring for the spark inside of you. Those early conversations were just the very first heartbeat of Conversations with Kate and everything to come. And then in May, we got to talk to Miss Rose Parker, our very first guest on the podcast. She talked to us about what it was like to take the struggle and make it into the events that she made, which, oh gosh, she is a phenomenal woman, a phenomenal human being. Look her up. She has a great event that she now does just annually where she takes all of the earnings from that event and donates it to a specific thing that helps people in Brevard County. And then in June, what did we do in June over the summertime? What were you doing over the summertime? Well, Conversations with Kay was exploring music and media with resting and the Soup Brain TV moment and how comfort shows are tiny little lifelines for us. Who doesn't love to like press play on their favorite comfort show that they've watched 70-11 times? Because I sure do. And then we also talked about how healing doesn't always just look like grand rituals. It's just about that hitting of play on that television. Sometimes it's just watching a new TV, or like I said, for me, it was that Eat Brain. That's a drum and bass record label. That Soup Brain television. And then, of course, over the summertime in July, we sat down with my classmates from choir, which was super duper fun, in our episode called Beyond the Measures. And I got to talk to them about how long they were in choir and what they loved and hated about choir, what their strengths and weaknesses they felt were, and also just about them in life, because, you know, choir has been a wonderful addition to my life. And it was so wonderful to sit down with these three people and just chit chat and feel that camaraderie and celebrate choir and being beyond the measures. And of course, you know, during August, the episode from August was two of my favorites of the year so far. No offense to anybody else that's been on the podcast this year, was Class Act with my daughter Autumn Sanford, where we got to talk about her CERTEC program that she is in. It's a dual enrollment program through Wilson Talent Center in Ingham County, where she's learning an associate of science degree. And I loved being able to have her in here and have her speak on that, because it's something that young people just, you know, it's not a typical degree pathway. And she's super smart. And, you know, of course, I have preferential feelings over my daughter. So it was very, very cool to sit down and see how she showed us how teachers shape the world and how you can become a teacher at that young of an age, and how the dual enrollment can work for you. And then we also got to talk to Miss Katie Smith with her company, and through the episode of Capes with Compassion, or Capes and Compassion, I think it was called. And her company is super duper wonderful. They do the it's called a League of Enchantment, and they go to local hospitals in Michigan and Chicago, and they visit children who are ill, and they just kind of brighten their day. And it was such a great episode to sit down with her. She is her husband, they started the company together, nonprofit together, really, and they are very transparent about it. They're just great humans doing a great thing for people. And then brought September, and I got to sit down with Vic Veda. Such a really an eye-opening conversation about the sound of spending and what it looks like behind the lens of like what music you listen to when you're shopping. Like, how does it affect you? Do retailers use these things? And it was neat to take a deep dive with someone, especially in her professional opinion, because she works for the Michigan Retailers Association here in Lansing. Phenomenal human being. If you haven't listened to the episode, it's really neat. Again, that was The Sound of Spending with Vic Veda. It was just a reminder that financial wellness matters, and especially for those of us who are out shopping in the real world and not just doing the online shopping. October brought the Unseen Impact episode, and that episode is super duper important to me and to everybody, should be to everybody, about that unseen impact that you don't know that you have on people. Sometimes you can just be going about your life and you could smile or say something or interact with somebody in an innocuous way, and it impacts them in a grand way. And I just, you know, I'm so glad I got to have that episode. If you haven't listened to that, please do. Or if you do have something to add about an unseen impact that was brought to you that you had on someone, or that someone had on you, please, by all means, get onto my social medias, Conversations with Kate, on all social platforms, and let me know. I want to hear what you have to say about the unseen impact. And also in October, we got to talk about Brewed Here, bunch of different, my favorite topic, actually. Hello, coffee. Can never go wrong with a conversation about coffee and all the different little local coffee shops that I have visited so far. The top tier being, really, I have to say, Haraz Coffee in East Lansing and Taste Coffee. I think it's technically in Mason. Those two are my go-to places. There's a lot of other noteworthy things on that episode if you want to go over and take a looky-loo back at that. Or if you just want to talk with me about coffee, shoot me a message. Again, on all social platforms, I want to hear what you have to say about your, or if you know of a coffee shop that I didn't message because I love, 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 love a good coffee shop atmosphere, whether it's for just being in there to have a good conversation with a friend, to work on some schoolwork, to write music, to write, or just get other work done. So again, that episode was called Brewed Here. So glad I got to talk about that. And November, we brought an episode to your ears that featured Jonathan Gewurz. He is the faculty lead here in the LCC music department. And we got to talk to him about all things music department. We also got to touch on his home life, his music that he does outside of the program. And it was a really good episode. He's a great educator here. He does music theory and he also teaches studio class for the instrument students. And then he also does a little bit of teaching at a couple of other campuses. But if you would like to look into that episode, that was Composing Creativity in November. And then, of course, my favorite month of the year, December. Here we are. How did we get to the end of December and to the end of 2025 already? But before we talk about the end of 2025, we have to talk about the Buddy the Elf episode, because how do you get connected with your inner Buddy the Elf? We talked about that. And again, the idea behind the episode comes from the fact that starting on Black Friday every year, I am Buddy the Elf incarnate. You can ask anyone that knows me. And we just had a few conversations about how to bring out your inner Buddy the Elf, how to celebrate it. It was a nice little fun episode about bringing joy and a reminder to not take life so seriously, to keep it whimsy, keep the laughter, and keep your sparkle alive the Buddy the Elf way. And trust me, it doesn't have to be with maple syrup on spaghetti noodles. And then we got to talk about the themes of the year. If I could wrap up 2025 in a bow, I think the tag would definitely read growth, gratitude, community, creativity, courage, and determination. Which of those do you feel most this year? Please let me know. Hashtag 2025 themes. And then we are going to sit and talk about the end of the year. Again, I say, like, how did we get here? This is the end of December, the end of 2025. Man, I feel like it just kind of was a breakneck. Like, hold on, whiplash. We're already here to the end of the year. I'm so thankful for everybody tuning in to this show. But also at the same time, I'm like, holy Moses. This is episode 14. This is episode 14, and I started from just sending an email. This is awesome. And to celebrate the end of the year, usually, not all of the times, usually, what do? Do you have like a big party? Do you sit home by yourself? Do you stay up and watch the ball drop? Do you have some sparkling cider? Do you have some champagne? Some years I've gone out and done events in public, and sometimes I've DJed things on New Year's Eve. In years past, I've also attended local parties, like get-together parties. What are you going to do on New Year's Eve? I think the best thing to do is whatever you feel comfortable or whatever brings that sparkle into that last few minutes and celebration of 2025, whether you are out in the middle of a club, hands in the air, or you're at a friend's house and you're putting up your glass in the air, or you're just sitting at home by yourself with some tea and some sparkling cider. We all are proverbially tomorrow night putting to bed 2025 and cheersing 2025 and ringing in 2026 with open arms. And now let's take a look ahead to 2026. What are your plans? As we count down, tick-tock, tick-tock, to the brand new year, what are you going to call in? What are you ready to call in? What's one intention that you can hold close to your heart? Maybe it's rest. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's boldness. Maybe it's believing in yourself just a little bit more. Whatever it is, take this moment to claim it. Thank you so much, truly, for being part of this first year of Conversations with Kate. Whether you've listened from episode one or you've found your way here today, I'm so grateful for you. Here's to many more stories, more music, more laughter, and more sparkle in 2026. Cheers to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Kate. You can find more information on LCC Connect site, as well as all social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, yes, TikTok as well. Big love.
Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect. Voices.
Vibes. Vision.
Studies show that students who take part in sports often see stronger concentration, better problem-solving skills, and higher academic achievement. At Lansing Community College, athletics plays an important role in student success with opportunities to compete in basketball, baseball, track and field, volleyball, and more. LCC athletes learn teamwork, discipline, and leadership, skills that last long after the final game. Find more information on supporting student athletes at lccstars.com.
Feeling froggy? Well, leap into 20-plus podcasts at lccconnect.org.
Art Happens Here, the podcast that explores the often curious and occasionally amazing art installations on, in, and around the campuses of Lansing Community College. I'm your host, Bruce Mackley.
Listen to this program and many others on demand at lccconnect.org.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not gonna get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Lansing Community College Job Training Center provides opportunities for individuals to earn several work certifications in 3 months or less.
Career training options are available both online and in person, covering a range of careers,
including healthcare, automation, IT, accounting, and more.
A complete list of LCC Job Training Center programs can be found at lcc.edu/JTC.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Ervin.
Baby, I'm home.
Well, thank you so much, Parker, and welcome to Time Signatures. I'm your host, Jim Ervin, and today's guest is absolutely one of the biggest names in the state of Michigan as far as the blues is concerned. In fact, when I asked some of my friends for a list of potential people to interview about the blues in this state, this gentleman's name came up every single time. Now, I found a piece in 2016 touting his musical prowess, stating, he has been blasting away with his 1956 Gibson for decades now and can rattle off more than 400 vintage tunes from the blues to the 50s rock and even some of the archives of 40s swing. Now, if you happen to have a copy of the 1972 Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival album, which is on Atlantic Records, you'll find him backing the likes of Boogie Woogie Red and Johnny Shines. Now, there's a lot more to talk about, but without further ado, let's welcome our guest, Steve Nardella. Steve, welcome to Time Signatures. Good. How are you?
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well,
I'm fine.
It's a pleasure to have you, and there's so much that I want to talk to you about, man, but I want to start back at the beginning. What were your earliest memories of music as you were growing up?
Well, my earliest memories of my dad had all of Hank Williams 78s. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I was listening to Hank Williams. And, you know, he's blues to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of grew up with the blues. And then when 50s rock and roll hit in 56, I was 8 years old and I fell in love with it, man. Elvis, Gene Vincent,
sure.
Eddie Cochran, Little Richard. You know, I mean, it was just, I love that music. I still do, right? I love vocal group music also.
Very good. Now, I wanted to ask you, did you have any favorite bands or some of those songs that you just had to hear over and over when you were growing up?
You know, I liked mostly the black artists, you know, like Muddy Waters and Slim Harpo, Jimmy Reed. These are records I had since I was 12.
Wow.
I love that kind of music. I love Chicago blues. And I studied it. When I moved to Ann Arbor, part of the reason I moved to Ann Arbor was it was closer to Chicago.
Okay.
And when I settled in Ann Arbor, the club started booking, Ann Arbor started booking blues. And we got all the Chicago guys coming in all the time at the Blind Pig. Some of them would play Mr. Flood's Party.
Yes, sir.
Mackinac Jacks. There was a bunch of clubs later on. Come Joe Star Lounge. This is a Rick's American Cafe. I mean, there were all kinds of places to play blues. So it was a good place to settle for a while and to get myself working. And I started out as a harmonica player, but I started playing guitar. Actually, I started playing guitar when I was, the same time I started harmonica, when I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
But so finally I added the guitar to my thing. Then I started singing. So it's been a process of slow grow process, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, when did you land in Ann Arbor? About what year?
In 1971.
Okay.
Now, I had been on the East Coast, and I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island.
Sure.
I played with a guy called Ken Lyons for a few years. And he was like an institution there. Everybody knew him. And then me and Duke Robel, I got a band together for a while.
Okay.
And we added John Nicholas to the band, Fran Christina, Al Copley. And we gigged for 5 minutes, and then that broke up. Too many chiefs.
Sure.
You know, you look at the talent there, you know, it's just abundant, you know.
Oh, yeah. Now, that 1956 Gibson, when did you get it? Tell me about the acquisition. How did you get it? And do you still have it?
Well, it's not mine anymore. No, okay. I don't have it anymore.
Okay.
But it was a beautiful guitar. I miss some of the tones I could get out of it that for sure I'll never be able to get out of any guitar the rest of my life. But it needed a whole ton of work, and it really was on the edge of being unplayable.
Oh boy.
But it was still playable. I'm still doing gigs with it, but
sure.
But they had problems. So I finally did get rid of it.
Okay. Did the new owner get it fixed up? It's back in service?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know who bought it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The guy bought it off me, and he sold it to somebody.
Okay.
So I really don't know who got it.
Sure. Steve, I wanted to ask you about your visit to New York City. Who did you see while you were there that first time?
1964 or 65, I saw Muddy Waters.
Okay.
With James Cotton, over the span.
Wow.
It was a great, great band. Muddy's band never lived up to that point again. But he always had a good band, though.
Sure.
I like Portnoy. He did a good job with Muddy Portnoy. After Muddy, I started seeing everybody. Howlin' Wolf, Junior Wells, Buddy Guy, all the people back in the 60s, you know.
All the big names,
when
huh?
When they were playing right.
Right.
You know.
Now, when did you decide to come to the state of Michigan? When did you actually make your move here?
When Black Hat, which was the name of my band with Duke Roblox, when that broke up, it was winter time. I said, well, springtime, I'm moving to Ann Arbor. And John Nicholas decided to come with me.
Okay.
So we hitchhiked. We jumped a fence in Rhode Island, got on the highway, we hitchhiked to Ann Arbor.
Oh, my goodness. And how long did that take you?
We were lucky. We got a couple of long rides.
Okay.
But it took, you know, a couple of days.
Sure.
Me and John, we went all over the place. But when we lived in Ann Arbor, we were constantly going to Chicago. And I remember one night going in here, Jimmy Reed with Eddie Taylor and stuff like that, you know. And I remember one time we hitchhiked to Boulder, Colorado, and hopped freight trains.
Wow.
Yeah, we were nuts, man.
Now, Steve, when you first got into Michigan in the Ann Arbor area, what did you do? Did you get yourself involved in music? What was going on at that time?
Well, me and John Nicholas started playing right away.
Okay.
I mean, we you know, a month after we were here, we had all kinds of gigs.
Wow.
Mr. Floods was high on the stand at the other bars around town. And we were working all the time. And then we were backing up Lightning Slim, Johnny Shines. One night, we were playing Mr. Flood's party,
mm-hmm.
me and John Nicholas, and in town at the alley, Johnny Shines and Off the Big Boy Crudup were playing. So they were staying at the house with me and John.
Wow.
And
they stayed
at my house. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I slept on the floor, the same place that Off the Big Boy Crudup slept.
Wow.
There's a guy that sold millions of records of Elvis. Millions. Millions. And they've never got a dime for it, man.
Mm.
But anyway, I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
They came down to Mr. Flood's party that night. We were playing. Johnny Shines got up on the stage. And the stage is so small. Arthur Crudup stayed down on the table in the front of us. And he just sang, man. And we had one of the greatest jam sessions I remember.
Wow.
We had quite a few good ones like that at Floods. I remember one night Sammy Lawn came in, man, and we just rocked and joined, man. That went on all the time back then. Big Walter Horton was coming to town all the time.
Sure.
Carrie Bell was coming. Hound Dog Taylor. It was a whole different town then.
That must have been an exciting time for you, especially because I know you said you moved up to Ann Arbor to get closer to Chicago, and here's all these Chicago and even national names that are coming through the area, yeah?
Right, right. And Second Chance, they would have the big names, man. Second Chance was on Liberty Street.
Sure.
You know the joint I'm talking about.
I know of it.
Yeah, anyway, they used to book all the big acts. I worked there with Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, a bunch of people, man.
So did you get to rub elbows with Chuck Berry's band, the Woolies, at all when they came through?
No, I never did. Okay. We did a gig with Chuck at Meadowbrook, too. Meadowbrook was like the big outdoor thing, yeah.
Okay.
We did that with Chuck. But I don't know who was playing with him at the time.
Okay.
I don't think it was the Woolies.
Gotcha. Now, I have to tell you, I picked up a copy of the 1972 Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival's album. And yes. It blew my mind because I didn't know at the time that you were on it. But then I saw your name in the credits back in Boogie Woogie Red and Johnny Shines. Talk about that for a moment. And how did that come to be for you? Were you surprised to learn that your performance was captured and became part of the album?
I didn't know that the Johnny Shines, I didn't know anything was going to be on it.
Okay.
I remember one time me and my girlfriend, we went to the Michigan Union, used to have a record store.
Okay.
And we went in the record store and they were playing the record. And it was me. I go, what's this? What? And they told me this is the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz. I didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
But it was fun playing with Johnny Shines. We backed up Layton and Slim on that festival also.
Okay. Now, yeah. Speaking of Boogie Woogie Red, because I've been in touch with Fred Reif. I'm assuming it was at the time that he was working with Fred, because I recall some cassettes and reels.
He was working with Boogie Woogie Red.
Okay.
But Red would also, Red, as far as the Blind Pig goes, I don't think he had the book. The Blind Pig gave him every Monday night for 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Or more.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was there every Monday night.
Hmm. Now, I was told that I had to ask you about your association with Kim Wilson. So can you fill us in on this?
Yeah, I met Kim when I went down to, when the Silvertones went down to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Actually, I met him before that, but very, very, very briefly. But when I moved to Austin, Texas, we became friends. And Jimmy Vaughn is a good buddy of mine.
Okay.
And Stevie was a good friend of mine.
Wow.
I had good memories of Stevie, too. I remember one night I was staying at the bass player for the Thunderbirds. What was his name? I got it on the edge of my tongue. Anyway, I was staying at his house. And one night there was a knock on the door at 10 o'clock. I was watching TV. And it was Stevie Ray, man. And he came in and asked me how I was doing and blah, blah, blah. And we ended up jamming on guitars.
Wow.
3 or 4 in the morning. Stevie was a nice kid, man. He's a good kid. Very respectful of older musicians,
Yes, sir.
I like Stevie.
That had to have been a very difficult time when you heard of his passing in 1998.
Oh, yeah. It hit everybody, man.
Yeah.
People loved Stevie. Stevie was, they loved him. He was the new Hendrix. He was a big star, You're going to be even bigger if he had stuck around.
Yes.
Because he straightened himself out. He was a terrible drug addict,
But I had heard that he had just gotten himself clean over the last, year or two before. Yeah.
For a couple of years and was playing just as good as ever.
Yeah.
And feeling better, smiling better, looking better. He had a young girlfriend. Yeah, he was doing all right, I'll tell you.
Well, I know that Clapton talked about being on stage with him that night, him and Buddy Guy and several others on stage together doing Sweet Home Chicago and just talking about what an amazing experience that was to be seeing the cleaned up version of Stevie Ray just commanding the stage.
Yeah. I think Stevie was going to change his style a little bit as he grew older.
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to be quite as rocky. I think he was going to settle more into a blues thing and almost a jazz blues. I could see him going there,
Yeah.
And if you listen to some of his later records, his last records, you can hear that too. In some of the cuts.
You know, I often sit back and think to myself, where would Stevie be if he were still here? Where would Hendrix be if he were still here? You know, where would Morrison be if he were still here? Where would Mama Cass be if she were still here? Just some of the incredible talent.
The 27 Club.
What's that?
The 27 Club.
Yeah.
They all died at 27.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, you sit back and you think, what could they have done in the world of music if they were still here?
Well, let's go even further than that. Let's say, what could Robert Johnson have done?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he would have definitely invented the electric guitar blues, and he would have got a band. There's always rumors that he did already, but he never got around to recording with a band. I'd love to know what he would have done.
Yes, yes. Well, Steve, what are you up to these days? Are you out there still gigging around occasionally? What about the band? Have you guys been together?
Occasionally. My band's, you know, they're there if I need them, if I wanted. I'm not gigging a lot.
Okay.
I have asthma. I'm 76. So, you know, I'm taking it easy.
Sure, sure.
But I do a gig, but I'm still, I can still do a gig. And I can still play, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm going to keep it for a while.
Well, it's amazing to me. I got to see the Blue Avenue Delegates, and of course, your friend and mine, Dave Huber, is part of that band, and they're all in their 70s, and got to see them play middle of last year, something like that, or it was earlier this year, I'm sorry, and they still bring it together, man. They're still out there doing their thing and jamming away, and you know,
I like Dave. Dave's a good fella, man.
Hell of a sax player, too, isn't he?
He's a great sax player. He keeps it simple. He plays good lines.
Yes, sir.
He never overplays. He knows what to do.
Definitely an old school player, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
How did you guys connect? Because I know he was with your band.
Fred Reif. Oh, Fred Reif.
Okay.
I told Fred Reif that I was looking for a horn player. He goes, well, call Dave up.
Yeah.
And so I did, and we got a gig together, and little by little, it started working.
And how long ago was that, about?
Oh, that was 10 years ago, maybe at least, maybe more.
Okay.
I really don't know. You know, I played with Jack Scott for 7 years.
Okay.
You know who Jack Scott is?
I do not. By name, I know him.
What in the world's come over you? You remember that?
Yeah, I know the tune, yep.
He had many hit tunes in the 50s. He was as big a rock and roll star as Elvis for a few years. Anyway, we went to, me and him went to England 3 or 4 times. We went to a lot of places all over the country. We played. Play a lot of R&B shows, and on these R&B shows would be all my childhood heroes, like Jimmy Beaumont and the Skyliners.
Wow.
And Johnny Maestro of the Crest. You know, just people like that I grew up with. And it was so much fun doing those gigs, man. Hearing some of the great old black vocal groups like the Magnificence.
Mm-hmm.
And incredible stuff, man. I really, really really like doing that. You should check out some videos of me and Jack on YouTube.
I absolutely will. Matter of fact, if you'd like, I'll attach those to the information on this episode so other people can check it out as well. How's that sound?
Yeah, the way I walk is a good one.
Okay.
And you remember that the way I walk is just the way I walk. The way I smile is just the way I smile. Hey, do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, that was Jack.
Okay, all right. Very cool.
No, I also did a tour in Europe with Eddie Burns.
Okay.
You know who Eddie Burns is?
Yes, sir.
He was John Lee Hooker's best friend.
Okay.
And played with John Lee Hooker in the early 50s.
Wow.
He made a lot of his own 78s also.
Sure.
He recorded for Chess. Eddie was great, man. I loved Eddie.
Steve, I wanted to ask you, because you talked about, you know, seeing a lot of your childhood favorites when you were over in Europe. What was that like standing on the side of the stage and watching them tend business with you standing there? Was that a true pinch me moment?
It was something else, you know?
Yeah.
I know the guys in the band, when I did that, they were my age, and they didn't have the same kind of feeling that I did. Because I remember them. I loved them.
Sure.
When I was a kid, you know? It was a lot of fun to do that. A lot of them have since passed on. Jack Scott for one, Eddie Burns for another.
Yep.
They're all gone now.
Yeah. Well, Steve, if people wanted to find out more information about you, I know that there's a little bit out there, or maybe if they even wanted to book you for a gig, since you're gigging occasionally, I would assume you've got music available for sale if people wanted to buy, correct?
Well, not really. Not really. I'm down to just a couple of CDs.
Okay.
Have you got my Daddy Rolling Stone CD?
I do not.
Well, see, that's my best CD.
Well, we're going to have to talk about this after we get done, because I definitely want to buy a copy.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get one online real cheap. But it's my best record. There's a lot of blues on it.
Okay.
And there's some rock and roll on it, some rhythm and blues, stuff like Any Place Is Paradise by Elvis.
Yes, sir.
Some serious stuff. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Very cool.
And the Silvertones, too. You got to get that one.
Yeah, I wrote that down. You told me One Chance With You is the one that I need to buy, so I'm going to go and get that.
There you go. Well, all right.
Steve, it has been a pleasure having you on today, sir. I want to thank you so much for your time.
Well, I know I talk too much.
No, you're fine, man. You're fine. I hope I get an opportunity to see you perform sometime, but I definitely want to bring this album, and I'll get together with you and Huber, and we'll get this album signed. I would love to have it as part of my collection. How's that sound?
Sure. No problem, man.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you being here. And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, our thanks to Steve Nardella for his time, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you that keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on CABS, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.
Baby, I'm home.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College, and when assistance is needed, tutoring is available to all students. To find out more about tutoring services, visit lcc.edu/tutoring.
Hey there, this is Dedalian, and I want to invite you to join me for a show called Behind the Connection. It dives into what's happening behind the scenes here at LCC Connect. It also provides you early introductions to new podcasts, some of the Connect initiatives that we are putting forth, and of course, insights into the concept of building the voices, vibes, and vision of LCC Connect. Find out more about it at our website. It's lccconnect.org.
A healthcare-related job training program is now offered 100% online through the LCC Job Training Center. The program prepares students for medical administrative careers and certifications, allowing them to learn at their own pace and on their own schedule. More information about the Medical Front Office Specialist Program can be found at lcc.edu/JTC.
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.